2 Timothy chapter 4. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. All right, let's read together here. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5. All five verses together. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's begin in verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. All right, we've been talking about this charge that Timothy has now been presented with. As Paul says in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead in his appearing and his kingdom. Timothy is commanded and charged to preach the word. And ladies and gentlemen, we are to carry out that charge as well. As we reprove, we admonish, convince, and convict. We rebuke, we censor, and forbid. And last week we talked about exhorting, that is inviting, invoking, beseeching, begging, and saying, please do this. We want to do all of that in our lives, both to the saved and to the lost. You understand that once a person gets saved, we're not done working with them. That's just the beginning, if you will. As they get saved, they become born into the family of God. They need care. They need direction. They need training. They need nourishment. They need help. And folks, we all, if you will, to some point need that and help in our lives. I'm often reminded, my parents are back again, and I hope you welcome them. There they are, back. You moved. All right, they're trying out different seats today and see which ones fit them best. They're back here, and now at 48 years of age and having my own family, my own children, if you will, and in a way, my own life, I still talk to my parents and I still look to my parents' example. Maybe not as much as I used to, but it's still there. Because, you know, obviously, I got to stand on my own 2 feet at some time. But just because I can stand on my own 2 feet and I have experienced some things doesn't mean they don't have any influence over me anymore. The influence might be less or less needed because I can fend for myself, but it's still there. And see, I'll just use myself as an example. I am a mature Christian. I'm a pastor. But that doesn't mean I don't need any help. It doesn't mean I don't need any accountability. That doesn't mean I don't need anything from anybody else. And that certainly doesn't mean that I can't learn anything from anybody else. Now, I may need less of that as I mature from other people and other sources, but it doesn't mean that I'm exempt from it. So this is a continual thing till the day we die. Until we are reunited with our Lord, we need to continue to grow, continue to preach the word, continue to help others, continue to pass on these things. Hey, listen, sometimes I need reproof. Sometimes I need rebuke. Sometimes I need exhortation. And it has to be done, the Bible says, the next phrase is, with all long-suffering and doctrine. Let me highlight the doctrine part first, and then we'll go to the long-suffering part. Doctrine is a foundation. It's a body of truth that has or needs to be taught. So let me rephrase my verbs there. That has been or needs to be taught. Okay? That's what doctrine is. And let me just tell you something. The reason why I am glad and have chosen to call myself a Baptist is because what the name Baptist stands for are the doctrines that the Bible says are the right doctrines to follow. Okay, that's why I call myself a Baptist. All right? If being a Lutheran and following the body of work that a Lutheran follows was the right doctrine, then I would call myself a Lutheran. Do you understand what I'm saying here? If being a Catholic and the doctrines that the Catholics believe were the right kind, then I would call myself a Catholic. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The only reason I call myself a Baptist is because I have searched the scriptures, I have studied to show myself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, and what the Baptist, if you will, faith or doctrinal stance says is what lines up with the Bible. That's why I choose to be a Baptist. So, he says to preach the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. So he says, Timothy, you need to stand on a firm foundation, which is unmovable, right? And it doesn't change because God doesn't change. And folks, listen, that's why we fight so hard for the King James Bible. Because I cannot have God's word changing willy-nilly here and there. It's got to be firm. It's got to be sound. Listen, there's a proponent in, I don't even want to call him Baptist because it just irks me. There's a component out there that's saying now that because the King James Bible was written in English so long ago, and times have changed so much, that even they're not calling for necessarily a new translation, they're telling us. But what they're calling for is a modernization of the wording, because the wording and the meaning of words have changed somewhat today. And that makes little red flags shoot off in my head. Because the devil has been attacking the Word of God since the beginning of the Word of God. Go back to Genesis 3. Yea, hath God said. Okay? He hasn't changed the way he works. Right? His modus operandi. That's the way, his MO. That's what he does. The devil will always question the word of God. So now, because, think about this, since the 1600s, when the King James Bible came out, since the 1600s, the devil has been attacking and attacking and attacking and attacking the word of God. He's used many different tactics. He's used many different things. And he's gone at it this way, and he's gone at it this way, and he's come at it this way, and he's come at it this way, and he's even come at it from all around this way. And by the way, now he's trying to come at it from the inside out. Because he's trying to discredit. He's trying to remove, crack, shade, sink, destroy the foundation of the Word of God. So Paul tells Timothy, yes, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. It means all the time. Reprove, admonish, convince, convict. Rebuke, censor, forbid, tell them it's wrong, say no. Exhort, beseech, invite, please come to the truth. So do all of that with long-suffering and doctrine. He says, Timothy, stay on the truth. Stay on the foundation. Don't go to the right or to the left. Be firm in what you're preaching and teaching. Now, I'm going to talk more about that next time. I just want to hit that first to kind of nail that foundation. And then we're going to talk about the main point today of long-suffering. Now, I can stand firm on a truth. I can be unmovable. And I can tell someone, this is wrong. You're wrong. You need to get right. This is the right way. And I can do it by standing on a firm foundation of truth. I don't have to go where they are. I don't have to enter into their sin. I don't have to go down into their, I don't have to go down into the mud to try to pull them out of the mud. That's silly. Okay? You don't want to be silly like that. You don't want to, if you go down into the mud, you're going to get stuck. You stay on that firm foundation, and listen, that is not rude, that is not mean, that is not hateful, that is not a, by the way, our world loves to use this term today, that's not a hate crime. You're standing on the truth, and you can do it with long suffering. Now, long suffering does not mean compromise. Long suffering does not mean, I don't see anything. Long suffering does not mean you're giving in or giving over or giving up. Long suffering simply means patience and forbearance. Okay? Now, when we do those things, it comes across sometimes as harsh. Because taking a stand is a firm thing, and it seems like you're unmovable by the way you kind of are, right? But that doesn't mean you don't have love. You don't have charity. Doesn't mean that you don't have patience with someone or a willingness for them to come to the truth. The Bible says God is willing that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. That doesn't mean God's going to go overlook everything and let everybody in. Doesn't mean that. When a parent is willing that a child turns out right, it doesn't mean that they're just going to let anything go. It means that they're going to stand on a firm foundation of doctrine and sound doctrine, and they're going to have long suffering. They're going to have patience. By the way, we all need patience and forbearance in our lives because we are but flesh. How many of you are perfect? You've never made a mistake. Okay, good. How many of you have never had to go through a life lesson twice because you didn't learn it the first time? Nobody. Okay, interesting. We all take time, don't we? When I was a kid, we sang a little song, He's Still Working on Me to Make Me What I Ought to Be, right? It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. How many of you heard, you know that song too? Okay. All right. Now, you understand that's what Paul is telling Timothy. Timothy says, yes, Timothy, you need to be a strong Christian, a strong preacher, a workman. And you ought to have a gallery of work. He said, Timothy, look at my gallery of work. Look at my paintings. Look at what I've produced in my life. Go back there just in chapter 3. I want you to see this because he uses the same word over there in chapter 3. Look at verse 10. But thou hast fully known my, what does he say first? Doctrine. So we're supposed to preach the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Same word. And then he says, manner of life, purpose, faith, what? Long-suffering. He wants to make sure that Timothy understands that this is a labor of love. It takes time. You understand, folks, that it takes time for people to come to the knowledge of salvation. We plant a seed. We put it in their hearts. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. Jesus is the Savior. He wants you to have salvation. We plant a seed. We put it in their hearts. We give them a gospel tract. By the way, I haven't told you this, dear, but this lady, she's on top of everything.
She takes care of me. She takes care of my suits. She gets them cleaned. When she gets them back, she always makes sure I have a gospel tract in my pocket. I haven't told you this lately, but at least in the last time I can remember, which is the last year maybe, I have yet to reach into my pocket and not have one of these in there. Isn't that amazing? She's amazing. Okay, I just thought I should say that. Right, come to mind. Now, back to my other thoughts. All right. We plant the seed. How long does it take for this to work? I mean, some seeds germinate quickly. Some seeds take a long time to germinate. You know, if you go out and throw a bunch of seeds out there right now, maybe some will germinate, maybe some won't. But they all have a time. There's a season to things. But I guarantee this, it's later than you plant it. But you got to have patience. You've got to have long suffering. You've got to have forbearance in your life to let those things work out. By the way, once it germinates, the next day it's going to have fruit on it, right? No? Hey, you know, there's some plants that only have fruit every other year? Or every 5 years? Or every 10 years? There's different durations of things. You understand that, right? We have chickens. Chickens are great. John's the chicken master over here. Some of my chickens are from John. Thank you, John. They're doing well. And in a year's time, the average chicken, depending upon what breed it is, will lay 240, 250 eggs in good conditions. That's it. My math, am I okay with my numbers there? Okay. That's great. But that means like 150 days they don't. You know, the day that the chicken doesn't lay an egg, I should get the axe out and have supper? No, we should wait a little while, right? We should let the chicken go through its whatever chicken things that it goes through. You know, it loses feathers, it does different things, and sometimes it's too cold, sometimes it's too hot, sometimes it's too dark, sometimes it's too light. You know, chickens are just like that, aren't they? They're kind of like people. Except we don't eat the people. But we don't just cut their heads off immediately and say, oh, they're rebellious chicken. Didn't lay an egg today, you know. That'd be silly. It'd be like going out to the garden and you got all these beautiful sprouts, you know, and you're like, ah, no wheat, no barley, no whatever you planted. Just start ripping them out of the ground. Terrible. Faulty. That'd be wrong, wouldn't it? That's what it's like in the Christian life. Part of a local church in humanity that we have. Folks, just because someone doesn't get saved today doesn't mean they won't get saved tomorrow. Doesn't mean they won't get saved next year. How long suffering are you going to be? How much patience are you going to have? How much charity and love and forbearance are you going to show in your life as a Christian? Let me say something to you. That's going to be associated with how mature you are or aren't. You know, as a young man, my dad can attest to this because he had to do quite a work to help me with this. But I wasn't always a patient individual. And I had a bit of a temper. I did. And if my sister's watching, I don't know if she ever watches or not, but she can attest to the fact that I didn't have a very long patience. I wasn't long-suffering with her. There were times where I got in trouble for not having patience with my sister. Because, you know, the Bible says brothers were born for adversity, but I think sisters were born for adversity. Because my sister and I, are we 18 months apart, Mom? Is that what we are? 17, 18? Something like that. She's an April birthday. I have a September birthday. Do the math. it'll work out. But anyways, we had some difficulties. Some broken doors. Some holes in walls. You know, just some things.
One of my favorites I've always been a good shot. Okay, I'm pretty good at shooting and aiming and things like that. One time she made me mad. She closed her door, and there was a bathroom right by her door. And there, the only weapon I had at the moment to retaliate with, yes, I said that, was a hairbrush. So I took that hairbrush and I chunked it into her door. I made a nice grouping on that door. It was only about 10 feet away. We decided that moment, we were both teenagers, that we were both going to get in trouble for that event. So we put a puppy dog poster over that door. My sister liked dogs. My mom and dad didn't discover it until my sister was getting married. I was in Sicily, in the Navy. I get a phone call, and mom's like, what are these holes in this door? So, temper, okay? Be careful. Now, we all need to improve. So the Bible has much to say about long-suffering. This particular word, long-suffering, is used 14 times in our King James Bibles. And I want you to understand that God uses this word on purpose because he wants us to exhibit long-suffering. One of God's characteristics is long-suffering. And by the way, folks, are we not glad that God is long-suffering? God forbears a lot. God has a lot of patience. Now, he doesn't overlook things, and he doesn't just say, well, you know, I'm just not going to see that. That's not what this is. He says, I see that, but I'm going to give you the space of grace that you need to correct that problem or to come to this conclusion. And folks, sometimes immediate answers, that's important. But sometimes that long suffering is needed, and probably more often than not, when dealing with human people, saved or lost. We need to exhibit long suffering. So very quickly, let's go through these. Romans chapter 2. Now, I'm not going to get to all of them. I already talked about 2 Timothy 3, same words. 2 Timothy 4 is our text today. But go over to Romans 2. Paul uses this same word here, long-suffering, in Romans chapter 2. Look at verse 1. But I want you to get the context of long-suffering here. Because when we're charged, we're standing before God. We're standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told to preach the word. Doctrine divides, folks. It's a sharp two-edged sword, it cuts, it pierces. You understand? So it's abrasive. It's supposed to be. But yet it's supposed to be wielded and used with long-suffering, right? This forbearance and this patience that we're supposed to have. So look at verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. Okay? What's it according to? Truth. Doctrine. It's according to truth. Against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same? That thou shalt escape the judgment of God. So what's he saying? He's saying God's not overlooking things. God's not just turning a blind eye. He's not compromising. He may not be acting at this moment. That's his long suffering. That's his forbearance. That's his patience. But the judgment is sure. Look what he says. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now, here's the key. This is the key. Why is the long-suffering coupled with the doctrine important for us when we preach the word, when we reprove, rebuke, and exhort? Because it leads people to repentance. That's why it's important. You see, the whole idea behind preaching the word,
The whole idea of behind studying to show thyself approved unto God, the whole idea of avoiding iniquity and to be a clean and pure vessel before God, to follow a path of righteousness and holiness and faith and truth and be a testimony and example, have a gallery of a work of art of our life, is so that other people can come to repentance. That's the whole reason for it all. From the beginning of the story to the end of Revelation, we understand that it is all about the redemption of mankind. God wants people to come to repentance. He doesn't just want to end their life. He doesn't just want to pronounce judgment and just chop their heads off. He wants them to have an opportunity to repent. When we give out gospel tracts, we're wanting people to get saved. You say, but pastor, they're a really bad person. They don't deserve salvation. Whoa. Don't have that attitude. Because nobody deserves salvation. No. I don't care how bad they are. I don't care what they've done. Folks, I've gone and preached in prisons with convicted, guilty murderers sitting in front of me, and I wanted them to be saved. You said they don't deserve it. Yes, they do. They should hear the gospel. They should get saved. Now, they're going to pay for their crimes. That's already settled. And let me tell you something. I could tell you stories about my time preaching in the Huntsville prison. Folks, listen to me. There are some great Christians in that prison. Wonderful Christian men. You say, what? Yeah. They've been born again. They've received the same grace and mercy that we've received sitting here in these pews. And let me just take a little step further. Some of those men in those prisons are better Christians than all of us. See, how is that possible? The grace of God. I'm just saying to you, folks, it's about repentance. You see that? Why? He says that this happens because God leadeth thee to repentance. Listen to this. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. But what is the purpose of long suffering? What is the purpose of forbearance? The purpose is repentance. We want to see them come to repentance. We don't want to see them brought to justice and executed. We want to see them come to repentance. That's why we should be long suffering and stand on that foundation of the truth of doctrine. Pulling them out of the mire. Pulling them out of the quicksand. Helping them to repent. To come to the knowledge of the truth. Go over to 2 Corinthians 6. Well, you're listening fantastically. We only have 12 more of these. Times 3 minutes each. We'll be done by 1 o'clock. Look at verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Okay, so can the grace of God be received in vain? Yeah, and that shouldn't take place, should it? Then he says, for he saith, I have heard thee in an time accepted, and in a day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Does that sound like preaching? Does that sound like a reprove, rebuke, exhort? Please come.
Please, please hear, please accept this invitation. He says, giving no offense in anything, I love this, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. So he says, these are all the things that we're experiencing, but we're experiencing it because this is the ministry. So long suffering is important to bring people to repentance, but long suffering is important to preserve the work of the ministry. Folks, we have an integrity to uphold. And unfortunately, some have let that reputation be tarnished because of not being long-suffering, not having forbearance. Folks, let me tell you something. I think a preacher ought to preach hard. And I think a preacher ought to say the truth and call sin, sin. I'm for that, but I can do it in love. I can do it with patience and forbearance. I can do it with the long suffering and the loving kindness that our Savior has for us. So look what he says. He says, there are three categories here. Okay, he says, in all these things, so they're in it, right? That's the experience that they're having. In them. Look what he says next. He says, by. So as the result of, right? By pureness. So he says here that the ministry, says that the ministry be not blamed, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. So again, what did Paul say to Timothy? Show thyself approved unto God, a workman. So now he says, okay, Timothy, so that we can uphold the work of the ministry, we can show forth the work of the ministry in these things and then by these things. So what things are we doing the ministry by? We're doing it by pureness. Folks, I don't have any other motive than to see people come to know God. Hey, can I tell you something? I'm not doing it for the money. I'm not doing it for the prestige. I'm not doing it for any other reason, for myself or for anybody else. I'm doing it for God. I want the kingdom of God to be furthered. I want my Savior and my King to be glorified and honored and praised. I want people to accept the truth of the gospel. I don't have any ulterior motives. I told you before, this pastor is an open book. What you see is what you get. I'm sorry. It's who I am. But can I tell you something? We ought to be doing it by pureness, he says. By knowledge. By what? What's the next word? Long suffering. By kindness. You know, I can tell the truth and still be kind. I can stand on the truth and still be kind to you. I can look you in the eye and say, hey, that's wrong. I can even furthermore say, you shouldn't be doing that. You should be doing this. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine. He says, knowledge by long suffering, by kindness. Oh, hey, how about this one? By the Holy Ghost. Folks, if I'm not filled with the Spirit, I'm going to be an empty vessel. I've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. If we do things in the flesh, it's going to crumble. If we do things in the Spirit, it's going to remain. We've got to do it by the Holy Ghost. We also have to do it by love unfeigned. Hey, can I tell you something? The world can take one look at you and know if you're real or fake. They can. They can see it. They can sense it. I grew up with horses. I was taught at a young age to ride horse. I don't know, Dad, we were probably 4 or 5 years old when we first got on a horse. And I just remember when we went out to Grandpa's house, all of us cousins would get together and we'd go out horseback riding. We'd all pile in the back of a little Chevy S10, in the back, probably 10, 15 cousins, no seat belts, bumpy gravel roads, Grandpa driving, like Grandpa's drive. And don't think Grandpa's drive slow. Moms and dads are thinking, why are we letting our kids go out with this man? He's going to kill them all. that's just kind of reality. Boy, can I tell you something? We need to get back to those days. Right? Come on, everybody. You'll know what I'm talking about. When we get out there, and listen, cousins are cousins. We don't get to see each other for that. You've had fun with cousins, okay? Now, the Combs family name, I know you may not understand this, but the tame part of our family is my wife's name, the Jackson name. That's the tame part. The Henry, the stubborn, starts with a P. When you try to get somebody to get a reaction out of somebody. Yeah, provoking, but what? And starts with an I. Instigator. The instigator, that's a Combs, okay? And we cousins, we get together, we poke at one another, we do things to each other. Here we are, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, and the older ones are pulling the bridles off of the younger ones' horses, and they're slapping them and making them run and fall off of horses, and, because we're just like that. And it was fun. But listen, we were taught at a young age, the horses can sense fear. You know, horses can sense that you're afraid. So here, look at a little 5-year-old, 6-year-old kid and say, don't be scared. They can sense fear. And when you get bucked off, what are you supposed to do? Get back on. I don't want to. Get back on the horse. Why? Because there's a conquering that needs to happen. There's something that needs to be done. And so please understand, folks, it's not fake, it's real. He goes on, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor. All of these things, folks, it's for the ministry, the work of the ministry. Why we should be long-suffering. For repentance, for the work of the ministry. Go to Galatians 5. I got to hurry. Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Hello. You say, Pastor, how can I preach the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all doctrine and long suffering? You can do it in the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, you can be long suffering. If you're in the flesh, you're not going to be long suffering. You're going to be impatient. You're not going to forbear. You're going to go whack. Because that's what our flesh wants to do. That's what our initial response is. But in the Spirit. He says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So folks, listen to me. We cannot preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all doctrine and long suffering, without being in the Spirit. We've got to be in the Spirit to accomplish this task. So, he says, these things are contrary. He says that ye cannot do the things that you would, but if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So listen, you can't do it when you're stuck down in all that junk. But if you rise above all of that and walk in the Spirit, you will be able to do these things. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love,
joy, peace. What's the next one? Long suffering. Now, he says that, and they that are crucified the flesh, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So all these things are true. These things are so important. Our relationship with God, our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, is going to determine whether we can preach the word how we're supposed to preach the word. Whether we can reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine or not. Because if the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, which is doctrine, and if the Holy Spirit is the one that fills us with the Spirit so we can have long suffering, then we've got to walk in the Spirit. We've got to be a Spirit-filled Christian. We've got to have, and if you will, be a worker approved unto God. Will we be approved if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God? No. Can we accomplish what we need to accomplish as a preacher of the gospel if we're not filled with the Spirit? The answer is no. There's no mistake. And by the way, in the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 passages of Scripture, which I'm not going to read today, they're all connected with a Spirit-filled walk of a Christian to be able to accomplish this charge. We've got to have long suffering. Do we have repentance in mind? Do we have the work of the ministry in mind? Do we have the filling of the Spirit in mind?